Calling all podcast fans. Spotify makes it easier than ever to discover new shows to love. Get personalized episode recommendations and easily preview them before you dive right in. Find exclusive video episodes from your favorite hosts and guests. And with some, you can even connect with them through polls and Q&A directly within their episodes. It's everything you want in one app. So what are you waiting for? Try the podcast experience today on Spotify.
Today is Saturday, January 16th, 2021. On this day in 1997, Ennis Cosby stopped to fix a flat tire on the side of a California freeway and was murdered in cold blood. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Spotify original from Parcast. Due to the graphic nature of today's crimes, listener discretion is advised. This episode includes discussions of murder that some people may find offensive. We advise extreme caution for children under 13. Today we're covering the roadside murder of doctoral candidate Ennis Cosby. Let's go back to January 16, 1997, to the 405 freeway in Los Angeles around 1 a.m. It was after midnight, but that didn't stop 47-year-old screenwriter Stephanie Crane from pulling on her fur coat, hopping in her Jaguar, and driving down Los Angeles's 405 freeway to meet a new friend in need. The friend in question was 27-year-old Ennis Cosby, who Crane had met earlier that month at the swanky Chateau Marmont. The hotel was known for celebrity sightings, and both Stephanie and Ennis fit the bill. Stephanie Crane's father was Harry Crane, co-creator of The Honeymooners. Ennis Cosby was the son of Bill Cosby, the world-famous comedian who had not yet been exposed as a serial abuser of women. While Stephanie tried to make her own way in entertainment over the years with a series of stalled screenplays, Ennis never had his heart set on a Hollywood life. Ennis shied away from identifying himself as Bill Cosby's son, even as storylines on The Cosby Show were directly inspired by Ennis's issues with his father and his poor academic performance. Ennis struggled with school his whole life, much to the consternation of his parents, who both had PhDs in addition to Hollywood careers. His troubles only came to an end when he matriculated at Morehouse College and was finally diagnosed with dyslexia. The diagnosis changed his life, improved his grades, and inspired him to pursue a career in education. By 1997, 27-year-old Ennis was a doctoral candidate at Columbia University in New York, who gave back to the community by tutoring children with learning disabilities. But that January, Ennis was back in L.A., where he met Stephanie after two parties at the Chateau Marmont converged into one. Ennis had been through a recent breakup, and Stephanie consoled him. She'd been through multiple divorces herself, and while it's not fully clear whether Ennis and Stephanie were romantically involved, they did develop a connection. On the night of January 15th, the pair made plans to meet at her home in the San Fernando Valley. But as the hour got late, Stephanie got a call from Ennis. He had a flat tire and was stranded on a freeway off-ramp. He wanted to know if Stephanie would lend him a hand, or more accurately, a light. Close to 1:30 a.m., Stephanie drove up to Ennis and his green $130,000 Mercedes 600 SL on Skirball Center Drive, just off the freeway. There was hardly any light at all, so he asked her to shine her headlights while he changed the tire. It was cold out, so Stephanie stayed in her car with the motor and heater running. It would only take a few minutes before Ennis was up, running, and ready to drive to her house. But that's when Stephanie heard a knock on her window. She looked out and saw a young man in a knit hat. She recalled that he seemed bumbling and unsure, but his threat was anything but laughable. He told her, "Open the door or I'll kill you." In a panic, Stephanie drove her Jaguar 50 feet away before stopping, turning around, and driving back. She allegedly did this in order to scare her attacker, but Stephanie was the one who was in for a scare. Once she was back where she parked, Stephanie ran out to see the young man race to a parked car nearby. Then she looked at the ground by the Mercedes and realized that 27-year-old Ennis Cosby was lying on the ground in a pool of blood. The son of one of the world's biggest celebrities had been killed, and Stephanie was the closest thing to an eyewitness. Coming up, we'll cover the hunt for Ennis Cosby's killer. Listeners, have you heard the eerie new podcast, Superstitions? Every Wednesday, explore the varying beliefs people around the world fear and follow in this mystifying series from Parcast. You do not want to miss it. Each week, step inside stories that illustrate the horror, weirdness, and truth behind humanity's strangest codes of conduct. Why do black cats represent witchcraft? What's the point of carrying a rabbit's foot around with you? And how come certain films seem cursed and others don't? Each new episode of Superstitions presents a story that unlocks the mysteries of unorthodox traditions and surreal phenomena. They may seem cryptic or illogical or completely insane, but then again, do they? Follow the Spotify original from Parcast, Superstitions, free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Now, back to the story. In the early hours of January 16, 1997, 27-year-old Ennis Cosby pulled off Los Angeles's 405 freeway to fix a flat tire. After his friend Stephanie Crane arrived to help, a young man attacked them and shot Ennis in the head. As Ennis's killer fled, Stephanie used her car phone to dial 911 and alert the police. After they arrived, investigators began collecting evidence and interviewing Stephanie. Ennis was shot in his left temple, and his lip was also injured, which led investigators to believe the killer had kicked him in the face during the attack. Robbery seemed the likely motive, but this theory was complicated by the fact that Ennis was found with a Rolex on his wrist and cash in his wallet. In his right hand was a pack of American Spirit cigarettes, which led investigators to believe his last act before he was shot was to offer his killer a cigarette. Stephanie Crane described the shooter as young, pale, and thin. She helped officers create a composite sketch, and the hunt was on for Cosby's killer. The murder was an immediate media sensation. Bill Cosby was a beloved father figure to America prior to his conviction as a serial assaulter, and the killing of his real-life son resonated in a powerful and tragic way. It stirred up controversy, too. CNN was criticized for airing graphic footage of Ennis's dead body at the crime scene, and many found it tasteless that reporters camped out outside the Cosby home to accost the grieving celebrity family. California's Lieutenant Governor Gray Davis also drew ire when he offered a $50,000 reward for Cosby's killer. While the murder was a tragedy, people complained that similar rewards were not offered by the state for murder victims who weren't celebrity offspring. The National Enquirer also offered a reward, and while tabloid involvement usually impedes investigations, the Enquirer actually helped crack the case. In late January, the tabloid received a call from a man named Christopher So. He claimed that 2 days after Ennis was shot, his friend Mikhail Markasev enlisted So and their friend Michael Chang to help him find a gun he'd tossed away in a field in Studio City. After they searched for the gun but did not find it, Markasev informed So and Chang that he had killed a black man whose murder was all over the news. So reported this information to the Inquirer and eventually the LAPD. The LAPD arrested Markasev on March 12, 1997, in his North Hollywood apartment. As the press later remarked upon, Markasev came from a very different background than Ennis and Stephanie. He was only 18 and had immigrated from Ukraine to the U.S. with his mother in 1989. While initially a bright student, Markasev fell into drug and gang-related crime and had already been charged with drug possession and assault with a deadly weapon. Investigators described the young man, who matched Stephanie Crane's description, as a kid really hard beyond his years. After arresting Markasev in March, police searched the field where Christopher So claimed the suspect had taken him. In April 1997, they found a .38 caliber pistol wrapped in a knit cap. And upon analysis months later, they discovered strands of Markasev's hair in the hat. Mikhail Markasev was charged with murder and attempted robbery, and his trial played out through the spring and summer of 1998. Stephanie Crane testified, in addition to one of Markasev's two friends who were with him the night of the crime. A woman by the name of Sarah Peters admitted to being with Markasev and her boyfriend, Eli Zakaria, in a parked car on the night of Ennis's murder. While Peter's memory was impacted due to drug use that night, she recalled Markasev running off and thinking he was going to rob someone. After Peters heard a loud bang, Markasev rushed back and told them they had to leave. The prosecution also put forth a race-based motive to Ennis Cosby's murder, as witnesses stated that Markasev referred to his victim using a racial slur. Evidence also surfaced that Markasev had noted hostility towards the black community and had stabbed a black teenager in 1995. On August 11, 1998, Markasev was sentenced to life in prison for murdering Ennis Cosby. Though he appealed the decision, Markasev later withdrew his petition in February 2001 and wrote a letter to officials confessing to the crime, seeking forgiveness from the Cosby family. Ennis Cosby was known to greet people with the expression, "Hello, friend." It's even what he told Stephanie Crane on the January night she showed up to help him with his flat tire. By all accounts, Ennis was a warm-hearted man with a bright future ahead of him, until he was gunned down by Mikhail Markasev. The murder of Ennis Cosby is tragic proof that no one, no matter how kind or privileged they are, is safe from the evils of crime and racism. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Today in True Crime is a Spotify original from Parcast. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime is a Spotify original from Parcast. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Juan Borda, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Bruce Katovich. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Amin Osman, with writing assistance by Alex Benedon, and fact-checking by Anya Bayerly. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Bad omens, good fortune, pure luck? Take a closer look at what you believe in and follow the Spotify original from Parcast, Superstitions. New episodes air weekly, every Wednesday. Listen free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.